Samuel to Solomon, chapter 11, passing the love of women. We would naturally expect that a man after God's own heart would reveal in his life something of the love and tenderness which dwells in the Father's heart, and there was that in David which inspired strong affection in those who knew him. Even Saul loved him greatly. Michal, Saul's daughter, bestowed her affections on him, and of Jonathan, Saul's eldest son, it is written that he loved David as his own soul. The soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. The first time that David and Jonathan are mentioned together was after the return of the former from the slaying of Goliath. From that time Saul would no more allow David to return to his home at Bethlehem, but set him over the men of war. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. There was much in common between the two friends. The same spirit of fearless trust in God which had made David bold to take up the challenge of Goliath was likewise strong in Jonathan. Accompanied only by his armor-bearer, he had once attacked a garrison of the Philistines, and the Lord had delivered them into his hand. Saul with 600 men had not ventured to attack the enemy, but Jonathan said, "It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." So the Lord saved Israel that day. Jonathan's disposition was a noble one. Even when he learned that the throne which should come to him, as Saul's eldest son, was promised to David, it did not lessen his love. The faith by which he was victorious over the Philistines proved him a true child of Abraham, and like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he desired a better country, that is, a heavenly. His father sought the honor that comes from men only, and could not endure to hear the praises of David sounded louder than his own, or the thought that his kingdom was to be given to another better than he. But Jonathan, in generous, self-forgetful love, could strip off his own princely arms and raiment, and put them upon his friend, one who looks for an everlasting dominion, and who knows that God holds for him a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, will not feel hurt and rebellious if others receive a larger portion of earthly honor than falls to himself. It may be that much of the good seen in David's afterlife was due to the influence of Jonathan's example. The time soon came when Saul tried to take David's life, and spoke to his son about it, expecting his cooperation in the attempt, but instead Jonathan warned David of the danger, and succeeded for a while in turning Saul from his evil purpose. Jonathan pleaded with his father not to sin against David, because he has not sinned against you. For he did put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. You saw it, and did rejoice. Wherefore then will you sin against innocent blood, to slay David without a cause? Although quieted for a while Saul's jealous, unreasoning anger was again raised against David, and this time he concealed his intentions from Jonathan. But David learned of his peril, and meeting Jonathan, told him what Saul was doing. Jonathan would not believe that his father could be so treacherous, and it was not until Saul, in his anger at David's escape, cast his javelin at his son, that Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. He met with his friend for the last time, so far as we have any record, and they kissed one another, and wept one with another, until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, forasmuch as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord be between me and you, and between my seed and your seed forever.'" So they parted, Jonathan returning to the city, David going forth to seek a refuge from the hatred of the king. The next mention of Jonathan tells of his death on the battlefield at Gilboa, together with two of his brothers and his father. We may think it sad that Jonathan's life should not have been set in happier times, and that the closing years should have been embittered by his father's enmity against his dearest friend. But we may hope with confidence that he had learned, like David, the lesson of trust in God. "Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Even if the evil seemed to triumph, he knew the time was coming when the meek shall inherit the land, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Psalm 37 verse 11. When David learned of the death of Jonathan, he mourned greatly, saying, "Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant have you been unto me, Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women, the love of Christ. Great, however, as was the love of Jonathan for David, it was but a feeble representation of that which Christ bestows on us. So closely has he knit his soul with ours that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He puts upon us his own raiment. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. He equips us with his own weapons and armor, bidding us put on the whole armor of God, and take the sword of the Spirit. He is the son of a king and heir to the throne of the universe, but he left everything and became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. And he calls whosoever will to sit down with him on his throne. Truly, his love to us is wonderful, passing the love of women. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yeah, they may forget, yet will I not forget you. Behold, I have graven you upon the palms of my hands. I have loved you with an everlasting love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Indeed, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, is to be filled with all the fullness of God. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me, but in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. Thou camest, O Lord, with the living word that should set thy people free, but with mocking scorn, and with crown of thorn, they bore thee to Calvary. O, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. Thy cross is my only plea. O, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, come. There is room in my heart for thee. E.J. Wagoner.